Hi there, Charles from the future. Couple of important things before we start this episode. Thing number one is that the GoFundMe for Catherine Winchell, who was the Legends Con executive director that was in a car accident, that is still going to be linked below in our episode description. If you are able to boost it, if you are able to financially donate to it, anything that you can do to help would be really appreciated. I'm going to mention it in the body of the episode, but I'm mentioning up top as well, just in case people check out after the rest of what I'm going to say. Thing number two, we are going to mildly spoil a little bit of Death Troopers in this. If you want our thesis statement, Colton and I both agreed that the book is really good. It's an incredible piece of zombie media. It's a really good Star Wars story, and it's absolutely worth reading. If that endorsement alone is enough for you, turn this episode off, go read the book, and then come back. If you don't want to, if you kind of want to know what happens in it, we're not going to spoil like major plot points of the ending. We're not going to spoil who lives. We're not going to spoil, except in one case, we are going to kind of spoil that one character dies, but we're not going to super spoil the ending, but we are going to have some spoilers in here that may temper your reading of it. So proceed with caution. The other thing, very quickly, this book is very R-rated. We're already in E for explicit podcast, but we're going to discuss some of the things that happen in this book, and it goes to some pretty dark places. So if you're not comfortable with the horror genre or things that are emblematic of zombie stories, you can go ahead and skip this one. I'm not going to be offended. Everybody who checks out, I'll see you next week for more Darth Vader. Everybody who stays, I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the show, Gold Squadron Gaze. It's the podcast where Charles steals the podcast back again, because fuck you, I jointly own this podcast and can sometimes wrest it away from Bradley to do whatever I want. I am your host, Charles Rogers, and with me is a returning guest. Returning guest, would you like to introduce yourself to the audience?
Hello, I'm Colson. This is the Halloween episode.
This is the Halloween episode. This episode will be coming out, fingers crossed everything goes according to plan, the day before Halloween. So this is our spooky Halloween spectacular.
Okay, that's enough theatrics. Hi, I'm Colton.
And Colton joins us once again. If you listen to our other Legends book episodes, you'll remember Colton from Outbound Flight. That was the one.
Yes.
I was mentally going through them like, wait, okay. Revenge is this with Andy. Death Star was Ryan. Colton was Outbound Flight. Yes, you'll remember Colton from the podcast For Light and Dice, a Star Wars TTRPG set in the High Republic era, where Colton plays a character.
At least one.
At least one.
And everything is fine.
Everything is good and fine. We just recorded our first session of season two, and everything is good and fine. We learned an important lesson about seatbelts.
Yes. Yes. We learned a lot of important lessons, I feel like.
We did. We can share none of them with the podcast audience.
Nope.
Because those episodes are not out yet, but oh boy, this art.
Well, only X days to impact.
Fuck off! Oh, God. No, I had to resist the urge to use that. The X days, X something until impact in something I'm working on right now. Just because I was like, this is going to be too obvious of a reference. This is going to be too obvious of a reference. And low-key, I'm still on the fence. I still might do it.
Do it! But do it!
I'm going back and forth.
It's not copying if it's an homage.
It's an homage. It's an homage to the High Republic. Well, as you may have noticed from the title or the presence of Colton, we are going to do a Legends book for our spooky Halloween spectacular. I do want to say right off the bat, before we get started, two serious notes. Firstly, there will probably be a tag at the front of this episode. If there is not, just as an FYI, the GoFundMe for Catherine Winchell, who was our guest on the Ferris Olin episode, is still going to be linked in our description. So if you are able to boost that, please boost that. If you are financially able to donate, please kick a couple of bucks her way. She could really use it. She's got really going through a tough time right now. Other thing is, once again, I am reiterating, the reason we are doing this content, this additional content that's not the visual media, is because as of recording this episode, Tuesday the 24th, SAG-AFTRA remains on strike. And they are the ones who have asked for people not to do promo and people not to do rewatch podcasts for streaming services. So we're still going by that. I've got my ear to the ground. We know they met today. We don't know what happened in the room today. Nobody has made a statement as of recording this, but we're keeping our finger on the pulse of things. We are ideally waiting for there to not be a picket line very soon because they came to a deal. But I am not holding out hope, frankly, at this point, for very much to change. Those are our serious notes. Before we begin to a slightly funnier note, Colton, I do want to confirm to the listeners, you and I discussed doing this episode as far back as right after we finished recording the Outbound Flight episode, yes?
That is correct, Charles.
Yes. So we've been actually talking about doing this for a couple of weeks now, and we are doing this in no way related to anything that's currently happening in the Star Wars sphere, right? This is completely 100% about this book and not at all related to anything that's happening, yes?
Yes! I see what you're saying. Yeah, no.
Yes. No. Yep. We definitely picked this to do purely on the merit. Actually, I did like this book a lot as a teenager, and I will explain why. It was on the cutting room floor for our Legends block, and I think it was actually Bradley's idea to do it as a Halloween special instead of in the Legends block. But here we are today. We will be talking about the novel Death Troopers.
Yes.
A novel which has nothing to do with the canonical Death Troopers. And it's also very fun to bring up at parties.
I'm sure you're just a riot at parties, Charles.
I'm delightful at parties. I am fucking delightful at parties. No, listen, because my greatest hits at parties range from telling men who make the Young Jedi Orders should end with Revenge of the Sith joke that they clearly don't know their Star Wars and they need to go back and rewatch it.
Sure.
To someone telling me, this is not a joke, this happened at a party, I made a comment, something about Star Wars being weird or whatever, or something about Star Wars, and this person, this man, because it is a man,
of course,
is always a man,
of course,
looks at me and goes, well, clearly you haven't read a lot of Legends then.
Scandal.
And I filed that away in the back of my brain, and about an hour later we're still talking about Star Wars, and I mentioned Callista, and this guy gave me the blankest look I have ever seen a man give, and I tilted my head to the side and went, you've read Legends, haven't you? And he goes, well, I mean, I've heard about it. I haven't really done it. I'm like, okay, shut the fuck up. Thank you.
Oh, my God. That's... I just don't go to parties. Because the one time I got invited to a college party, I spent the last half of it talking about Warhammer. Never invited again.
Well, see, I go to adult parties for adults, and I spend the whole time talking about nerd shit, and I keep getting invited back.
Well, aren't you just so lucky there, Charles?
You just need to find better parties, Colton.
But I don't want to go to parties. Why do you think I talk about Warhammer at parties?
I mean, speaking of parties, which this book is not, would you like some additional information about the novel Death Troopers?
Yes, Charles. I would like additional information about the novel Death Troopers.
Great. So this is one of my favorite Legends of novels, not because it's good, it is good for what it is, but purely how batshit insane it is that this book exists. And I will now explain why this book exists. In order to explain how we got to Death Troopers, we have to go all the way back to 2003, 6 years prior to the release of this novel, with the release of the latest cash grab from LucasArts, Star Wars Galaxies. I say this sarcastically because it was trying to capitalize on the mild MMO thing that was starting around that point. It was one of the early adopters, though.
I had forgotten that existed.
Well, that factors very heavily into this story. Yeah, so this game actually predates World of Warcraft by over a year. That's... World of Warcraft released in November 23rd, 2004. So I have to walk this back a little bit and say that it was far into the MMO wave that was starting. This was more in the EverQuest era. This was before World of Warcraft came out and, like, blew the entire thing up on its hinges.
Right.
But yeah, this game released in 2003. It was an MMO, and that's all that I really feel like I need to say about it.
Yeah, I never played it. I just briefly acknowledged its existence.
Well, you were busy, what, being a child?
Yeah, I was 3 years old.
You were three, okay? I fucking hate having you on this podcast. I hate having you on this podcast. It makes me so angry all of the time. So I actually had a Star Wars Galaxies like free trial code that I got in the back of one of the other video games. I kept meaning to download it, and then I kept pushing it off, and then the game shut down.
Sure, sure.
However, in 2009, game update 14 was slated to be released for this game.
Oh.
And this game was called Death Troopers, or the patch for the game. So if you're not familiar with MMOs, traditionally the way they work is there's a base game, there's expansions that you purchase every couple of years that add significant new worlds and areas to the game, and then you get patches, so continually updating patches. If you're familiar with the live service model that was popular a couple of years ago, this was an earlier iteration of that. So one of these game updates, these patches in 2009, was called Death Troopers, and it concerned a zombie outbreak on Dathomir.
Interesting.
I'm surprised you didn't know this.
I was nine.
No, I'm surprised you didn't discover this when you were rereading the book.
That it was on Dathomir? Wait, what?
That it was tied into this game. That it was a Star Wars, it was a tie-in novel for the Star Wars Galaxies game.
Okay, Charles, I'm dumb. I need you to explain to me how, like, other than it being about zombies, I need you to tell me how this is a tie-in novel. Other
great!
Than
I'm getting to it.
Okay.
It's coming. It's coming. I promise all of this is moving to a point. So we have a Star Wars MMO that is current, that was ongoing at the time, and in 2009 they did a major game update that instituted basically a zombie plague. Again, we have to take a little bit of step back because it's also worth remembering what was happening in pop culture in 2009. And that was, it's all zombies all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Now I tried to do a little bit of research on this, like, before we got started and try to see, like, where did this start? I couldn't find it. I'm sure, you know, somewhere someone has documented. But for some reason, which I think might have had something to do with the Dawn of the Dead remake coming out, and might also have had something to do with the fact that a lot of video games at the time either had zombie modes or had figured out that zombies made a really easy gameplay loop.
Right.
But for some reason, all of a sudden, we just got fucking zombies everywhere all the time. They were in video games. They were in movies. They were in books, including the fantastic World War Z, which I cannot recommend the audiobook for enough. It has Alan Alda and Mark Hamill in it. It's so really? Fucking good. Yeah, it's fucking amazing. I love this book. It's on my list of media that genuinely changed my life. And also, I think the Walking Dead comic started coming out around this time. Yeah, it came out first in 2003. So it was in the lead up to this, but for whatever reason, we had a fuckload of them. I believe Wrath of the Lich King also came out around the same time. Of the Lich King, give me a second here. Wrath of the Lich King was 2008, yeah. So even World of Warcraft was getting in on this. Wrath of the Lich King having, of course, its infamous zombie plague incident that was studied by actual epidemiologists because of how
that.
It worked.
Yeah.
And how they ended up not solving it, and we don't have time to get into that. I have tangented enough. The point...
Don't sell the most pop culture zombie game that also came out in 2009.
What was
Plants
that?
Plants vs. Zombies.
Yes, that's indicative of what was going on at the time that this book came out and this game update came out, was zombies were fucking everywhere. You could not swing a zombified cat without hitting a zombie. It was crazy. Like, I can't even describe it to you, just how zombies were fucking everywhere. Also worth remembering, New Jedi Order had concluded long ago. Legacy of the Force, I think, had just ended. They were starting up Fate of the Jedi, but also for Star Wars, the Clone Wars movie had come out. Either it come out or was about to come out. I believe it had come out by this point. I believe that was 2008. So Star Wars wasn't really sure what it was doing around this point. It was struggling to find its identity after Legacy of the Force and after the Clone Wars multimedia project. And all of this is coming together to have this MMO where you have this patch that's about zombies, which are a huge thing in pop culture, and also Star Wars isn't sure what the fuck it's doing at this point. Into all of this comes a tie-in novel that serves as a prequel to the events of the patch, including several characters who appear in the patch in-game that you can encounter.
Oh,
and the origins of how this Blackwing virus ends up on Dathomir in the first place. A novel called Death Troopers. That is how we get Death Troopers. That was about 15 minutes of explaining why this novel exists. But I think it is important to look at where this perfect convergence of events that led up to the existence of this novel being written to tie into this game, which was trying to capitalize on the zombie craze that was going on at the time. And also Star Wars was just willing to do fucking whatever. And into it, we have this novel. Now, to be fair, to their credit, they did hire an actual horror writer to write this novel. They did not pick one of their staple Star Wars authors. They went out and found a guy who writes horror. And that is a guy named Joe Schreiber. Now, Joe Schreiber, according to Wikipedia, is most famous outside of Star Wars for novels Chasing the Dead and Eat the Dark. Death Troopers was his first contribution to the Star Wars universe. If you read the author's notes and supplementary material and things that he has on either side, you see that he is a lifelong Star Wars fan and a vintage toy collector. Bizarrely, this would not be his last entry into the Star Wars universe. He would also write the prequel to Death Troopers, Red Harvest, and he would write a novel called Maul Lockdown in 2014. This is a Legends novel. This would have had to have been one of the last ones. Yeah. And he wrote the junior novel adaptations for Solo, A Star Wars Story, The Mandalorian Season 1 and 2, and The Book of Boba Fett.
Wow. Interesting. I didn't know he was attached to that. That's cool.
He's still writing the junior novels.
Fun.
As of 2023, he was still working on them. So yeah, the same guy who wrote fucking Death Troopers wrote the Book of Boba Fett Jr. novel. Writing is crazy.
It is.
I'd be writing is crazy. Colton.
Yes.
You came with some fun facts about zombies.
Did.
Do you want to share some of those fun facts about zombies?
Yeah. So really what I came with is the entomological history, at least a little bit, of the word zombie.
Spoilers, this book is about zombies.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you got that from the whole discussion of zombies that happened when we were talking about the cultural significance of this novel. This book is about zombies. Colton is now going to tell us about zombies.
Yeah. So the first known written text that uses the word zombie is I don't know the text. Sorry, I do know the author, though. It came in 1819, and it was by Robert Southwell. And the preconceptualization of the word zombie has, unfortunately, a lot of racial baggage, because the zombie, up until, like, the 70s, was used in a specific context, discussing a type of mythology that was common in South Africa and South America, specifically Haiti. In fact, it wasn't used until, really, to describe what our modern conceptualization of zombies are, until specifically The Return of the Living Dead, because Dawn of the Dead and Night of the Living Dead never use the word zombie. They use ghoul, and it's only after the director used zombies in the sequels and in interviews that it sort of became what our modern conceptualization of it is in our current time.
Now, the director of those movies being the late, great George Romero, who did his fantastic, fantastic series of zombie films, yes. Starting with Night of the Living Dead, which was kind of, in our popular culture, the sort of pre... This is the starting point for zombies. Mm-hmm. You can think of it kind of as the heir to the empire of zombie movies, because it kind of kicks the whole thing off and everything based on that. Look, it's a Star Wars podcast. I have to explain it somewhere. No, like, there was other Star Wars stuff before Heir to the Empire. No one cares prior to that. And it's the same way with zombies in popular culture. I know they had turned up in things, mainly folklore and mainly, like, mythology and things. His was one of the first to, like, bring it into a modern context.
Yeah, because, like, zombie, up until the 70s, was a very specific type of undead. Because there's been undead entities for as long as we have existed, right? The Epic of Gilgamesh has Ishtar summoning legions of the dead. But zombie was specifically a Haitian, an anglicized version of a Haitian word to describe a certain type of undead. And it only became popular to describe pretty much anything that's dead, unless you're being really specific or play D&D and give a shit. Yeah, and that's... I think pretty much all I have.
The other thing that I find interesting, and we'll move on to the book in a second. The other thing I find interesting about Romero's work is not only did he kind of, he cemented the idea of what a zombie was in popular culture. Like the yes. idea that they are the living dead who shamble and they eat people. Now, the brains thing came later. It's not in the original film. And there's certain aspects that would develop later on. In the original film, it was just anybody who was dead was coming back. The whole bite thing would come back later. And we do see a little bit of that in this book, with it being like an aerosolized, I think is the word. It's yeah, in the air, yeah. Which is a really fucking creepy read in the year of our Lord 2023.
Oh, yeah.
However, the other thing that Romero did, which I think a lot of people missed when they were doing their later versions of zombie stories, he made it about stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he made his movies, they weren't just about zombies. They were about specific things. Like, Dawn of the Dead was about consumerism. Night of the Living Dead has some stuff going on in it. I really love the remake that Tom Savini directed in 1990. I think that is a fantastic remake.
I've never seen it.
Not a lot of people have. And I highly recommend, if you like zombies, that movie kind of improves upon the original. Romero produced it, and I think he co-wrote the script for okay. it. I know he produced it, and Tom Savini, who was the makeup artist on the original film, directed it. So it was all done in-house, but this was something to keep in mind about zombie stories, and where I think a lot of them failed, is the ones that tend to be good are the ones that tend to be about things.
Yes.
And this book is about some things, and they're not just the zombies, which is, spoiler, part of why I think it is a good book. But that's something that's emblematic to good zombie literature. If you look at, you know, Night of the Living Dead, the movie, or you look at World War Z, the Max Brooks novel that became really popular in 2020 for some reason. Can't imagine why people were revisiting that novel.
The only thing I remember from World War Z, and it might not even be from World War Z, but Don't Dead Open Inside.
That is The Walking Dead.
Oh, is it?
That is The Walking Dead TV. It's from the pilot episode of the TV show.
Oh, I have a confession. Another confession. I don't care that much about zombies as a conceptualization for horror.
That is perfectly reasonable because as a person who loves zombies and what they can do, I find most of the media trite and boring.
That's fair.
Yeah. I think they're rather like vampires or any sort of horror element to me. You have to use it right. You can't just slap a Dracula in your thing and have it be as good as Dracula. Like, the novel Dracula was about stuff.
I love the novel Dracula. It's so good.
It's my favorite book, currently. It is my favorite, but it's sitting at the top of my favorite book of all time.
Nice.
But the thing with the novel was that the novel was about specific cultural fears that Stoker wanted to explore. Now, those fears were incredibly xenophobic.
Oh, boy!
But the novel is about stuff.
Yeah.
And I think where a lot of zombie media in the late aughts failed was that it forgot to be about stuff. It was just trying to do Dawn of the Dead again.
Yeah.
And it forgot that Dawn of the Dead is good because Dawn of the Dead is not a movie about zombies. It is a movie with zombies in it.
They also don't go weird enough. Right, like my favorite zombie story is Cold Air by H.P. Lovecraft, who's also exceptionally xenophobic.
Fun fact, I have read this story. I know this one. Guys, Colton brought a story to the podcast that I have actually read. I have read Cold Air. I know what happens in this story.
For those who don't, long story short, H.P. Lovecraft was terrified of a lot of things, and air conditioning was one of them.
H.P. Lovecraft clearly did not live in Southern California while climate change was going on.
God, I don't think you could pay him enough money to live in South. Anyway,
you could not pay him to get away like 100 miles out of his specific little hometown in what was it, Rhode Island?
The fuck he was from? Somewhere in New England, that
Providence, Rhode Island,
area.
Or something where he was.
He lived in New York for 3 years, and he said it was the single most terrifying experience of his life.
That's because H.P. Lovecraft was a piece of shit.
Horrible person.
Horrible human person. Terrible. And people are going to tell me, like, they love to tell me, oh, he wasn't that horrible. He was a product of his time. Google the name of his cat.
He sent actual money to Hitler before he was elected in order to help his funds for his
this guy sucked.
Political campaign. Yeah.
No, I always tell people, Google the name of his cat, and that will tell you everything you need to know about who H.P. Lovecraft was as a person.
Yeah.
He sucked so hard, August Derleth was superior to him.
Really was.
Really was. Just in terms of being more interesting with the mythos and also not being a giant piece of shit.
Yeah.
Fuck H.P. Lovecraft. Speaking of Cold Air, yes.
Yeah. It's just, it's a great read, but it's about a guy who meets his neighbor, and his neighbor keeps his house really cold for some reason, and then has a mental breakdown when his new fancy air conditioner breaks. So he gets a bunch of ice, and the character's like getting ice, but eventually it stops working, and it turns out the neighbor was dead for 10 years and was being kept alive by air conditioning, and it's just weird, and like there's no moral other than air conditioners are bad, and
H.P. Lovecraft, like, I'm not gonna go on another long tangent about it. I could talk about H.P. Lovecraft for an extended period of time. Oh my goodness. Well,
let's talk about this book.
Now that we have been through the complicated history of why the novel Death Troopers exists, and also the history of zombies in popular culture. This is the scariest part of our Halloween episode, Colton. I expect the audience to learn things. I expect them to come away with additional knowledge, which is truly the most terrifying thing of all.
How dare you, Charles? I think that's too much to ask for anyone.
Yes,
we love you, listeners. We really do.
I do love you, especially if you're listening to this episode, because it shows you have class and taste.
Yes.
Today we will be discussing briefly the novel Death Troopers, in which a mysterious outbreak aboard a derelict Star Destroyer and a prison barge causes a mysterious rise of the living dead. Colton, what did you think of the novel?
Okay, I liked it. There's a lot of really good stuff in this book. I liked it a lot more than Outbound Flight, I can tell you that.
Hooray!
No, that's not a terrible...
This word. Book remembered that women are people! We have only one real female character, but she's really good.
Yeah, she's like the second main character, and she's the best, and she's fantastic.
Also, all of the shitty sexism from men that they do to her in this book is bad. And
yeah.
it is presented as bad. And it makes us dislike them. So that when they all die in this book, we feel not so sad about that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Please continue with your thoughts of liking this more than Outbound Flight.
It's very, like, the how it's written specifically is brilliant, especially like as the book goes, the chapters get shorter, which just like is one of those cool literary things that causes the brain to like start reading faster and going through the book to like, you know, amp up the thing, which I really like. It's a fun little horror plot. I love that Han and Chewie just show up.
Yeah,
randomly.
So I have a story about this that I promised to tell you.
Okay.
I have a story about this that I promised to tell you, and I will tell it to you now because we've brought them up. Yeah, Han Solo and Chewbacca are in this book. We're not going to really talk about like what role they play in the plot because they show up about, I would say, about a third of the way into the book.
Yeah.
It's about the halfway point. There is no indication these characters are coming. Only the presence of smugglers is mentioned in the dust jacket. So I have, unlike the novel Death Star, I actually have my original copy from 2009.
Ooh.
There is no indication these characters are coming. They are not in the Dramatis Personae list. So for those of you who have not read a Legends book, some of them do this too. They have a list of the main characters up at the front. And Han Solo and Chewbacca are not on that list. So imagine this, right? I'm 18, 17 when this book came out. Let me check the exact date of when this book came out, actually, so I can tell you. I was 18 when this book came out, and I'm reading the book. Han Solo is my favorite character at this point in all of Star Wars.
Sure.
I fucking love zombies. I was reading World War Z. I was watching the Living Dead movies. Like, I was in my zombie era, like, to an embarrassing extent. I was in my zombie era. And they released a Star Wars book, and it had zombies, and I was like, this is the best thing. I love this, and I'm reading it. And then I turn the page, and it's fucking Han Solo. I lost my goddamn mind. I lost my shit. I was like, they wrote a book specifically for me and no one else. And then about 3 years later, I realized, wow, they really fucking did a zombie novel with Han Solo, of all people.
Yeah, which, you know, makes sense. You always need a scoundrel in a zombie movie. But
you
like...
do, but he's actually one of the more heroic characters in the book?
Yeah, that was...
That's one of the funny bits?
That was strange. This takes place before episode 5, right? 4.
Yes, this right? is a year prior to the events of,
okay.
of A New Hope. So Wikipedia helpfully actually provides me the things which preceded and followed this in the Legends chronology. If Ooh. You're wanting to follow along, it is preceded by Dark Forces, Soldier for the Empire. And it is followed by... Colton, you're never going to fucking guess what immediately follows this in the timeline.
Oh god, in the Legends timeline?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to know, but
what would be
go
one of the
it?
Absolute worst things to bring up on a podcast with me?
Mon Mothma being the First Order founder?
I mean, yes. Also almost sat me feral. No, it's The Force Unleashed 2.
Oh my god.
Follows immediately after the events of this book.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so if you're following in the timeline, that's where we're at. We're at Force Unleashed 2.
I love
Incredible
it.
Incredible stuff.
That's...
I should interject here before we go down yes. Colton's list of points, because clearly I can see that's what they're doing, to say my opinion on this book is this book fucks extremely hard. It has no business being as good as it is. Like, every time I read this book, I am struck anew with how fucking good this book is. And like... You can make an argument, which I kind of do a little bit, that older, like, more mature Star Wars stuff I'm a little conflicted about when you get to something with... This book contains, like, violent, visceral descriptions of gore.
Yeah.
Because it's a zombie novel. Just the amount of gore in this book is insane. Like, it is... And admittedly, it's on the cover. Like, you have a warning it's coming. But the parts of this book made me cringe... And I'm conflicted about that having the Star Wars label on it. However, if you put that aside and you just go, I want to read a Star Wars zombie story, this book fucks so hard.
Yeah.
It's so good. Like, It is crazy how good this book is, because not only is it a really good, really tense horror story, it remembered to be about things. Specifically, it's about the prison industrial complex and the military industrial complex.
It's so weird. I don't know how you got that reading, Charles.
Well, it draws explicit, like, the setting of it on a prison barge is not just there for horror. It contrasts the way that people are acting on this prison barge with the stuff that they find on the Star Destroyer later. And particularly, like, they also draw comparisons between the Empire. A lot of this book is about the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, people serving with the Empire and, like, what kind of person does that? What kind of things you do? Who the Empire looks for specifically? They have, what is it? There's a specific psych test that they talk about in the book.
I have you it have a note literally on, right here.
You have a note on the psych test?
Yeah, it is the Vec Headley Battery. It is specifically skewed to indicate any underlying psychopathological attitudes in the applicant, with the understanding that such things might come in handy in service to the Empire, is a direct quote.
Yep, they have that. And they also talk about the way that the zombie plague kind of works in this book is that they kind of have low-level telepathic abilities.
Yeah.
So they move as a group.
Quorum sensing.
Yeah. They, like, coordinate with each other. So they use the zombies, like, the setting of it as on a Star Destroyer and, like, talking about them moving through it. And also talking about them, like, learning to use it and learning to get on the ships later on. That's not a huge spoiler. But it's about stuff. And I could talk about how it's about stuff. And I love that the writer remembered to do that. Because it's so interesting to me. Yeah, I love this fucking book. It's great. It's fucking amazing. If you're okay with the amount of gore that's in it.
Yes.
And also the really dark themes in it. It's interesting too. I've never seen a Star Wars book go this dark.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean,
explicitly this dark. Colton's running through the, like, mental list in their head trying to see if there's any. I can't think of
one. Traitor is pretty bad.
I can't think of one off top of my head that goes to this. Like, because, again, a lot of this book is about losing your humanity.
Yeah.
And about how humanity is stripped away by the military-industrial complex, by the prison system, by living under a fascist state, compared with the humanity being stripped away of the zombies in the book. The way they do this, and, like, particularly the Sartorius character, Sartorius...
Oh, yeah, Sartorius.
Sartorius. Jesus fucking
Jared
Christ.
Jared Sartorius.
Jesus fucking Christ, this character.
Horrible.
Like horrible guy. Person. And we get in his head. Oof. Like, we get to see how he thinks. And I'm just like, God, this is... It's a horror novel in, like, every sense of the word.
Honestly, that is the one thing that I didn't like about the book. Not that he was a horrible person, but that he gets redeemed in the end by a... Is this a spoiler episode?
I guess we're putting a spoiler tag on the front of it.
Sorry.
Yeah, he... Well, because what they do with it is... They show him, like, the other side. Like, he always thinks he's, like, the worst person in the room.
Yeah.
He's always thinking about how I'm the worst person in the room. He is, most of the time. He sucks. And then he meets the cannibals because, you know, it's a zombie story.
Yeah.
There's gonna be cannibal survivors. Yeah, there's also cannibalism in this book.
Just a little bit. Okay.
There's also gonna have to be a content warning maybe in front of this episode.
Yeah. The thing I really liked about the cannibal, sorry to just, like, stop, is that, of course, the commanding officer isn't eaten yet.
Oh, like, of course!
It's fair, they drew lots, but I'm sure Imperials are always willing to, like, go for their word, be fair.
I love how he's, like, when they're grabbing Sartorius to like, because they're going to eat him. And he's like, when we get back, you will be remembered for your service to the Empire.
Oh,
and, like,
God.
That's the thing that's supposed to motivate him. That's the thing that the Imperials are clinging to, is their devotion to this fascist state and how they can just repeat the axioms, like the words that the Empire has them say over and over to justify literally fucking eating each other.
Yeah.
Like, it's... Jesus fucking Christ.
And the descriptions. Like, the commanding officer gets real into it, which, like, implies that maybe there was something weird going on, like, on the ship before, but, you know, I'm not one to judge.
I think Sartoris's turning point in his arc isn't necessarily his, like, what happens to him at the end. It's what he does after he gets away from the cannibal guys. And I'm, even in a there are mild spoilers in this book, or this episode, I'm not gonna say what that thing is. But the way that that turns out, like, kind of inadvertently saving the day, that was sort of an interesting thing. But yeah, it also does lean a little into the redemption equals death that Star Wars is really bad about.
Yep. But...
This book is good.
It is. It's so good.
It's good. It's one of those Delilah S. Dawson things to where it has no business being as good as it is. But they also got somebody who knew what he was doing to write this.
I did lie. I have two gripes.
Okay, what's the second gripe?
They killed Waste.
Oh, of course that was going to be your gripe.
They had no reason to kill that precious, precious droid. He's not even made out of meat.
Oh my goodness.
Horrible.
Yeah, once there are droids in this book, and the relationship between Zahara and Waste is really interesting, and then comes up in, like, the finale.
Oh, yeah.
In a really interesting way. Like, the droid, the autonomy of the droid and how she thinks of this droid as a person, even though she really doesn't, but she's kind of come to see the droid that way, playing a role in the finale. I knew you would like that.
Yeah, it was great. I also like, oh god, what's his name? Warren? He's the guard that's like...
The guard, one of the guards early on in the book.
BLX droid that just sort of follows him and makes quips. I loved that too.
This book spends a lot of time on the prison ship before we even really get to the zombie stuff starting. We spend a lot of time on the prison, almost like the author's drawing a correct comparison between the dehumanization of the prisoners and the living dead and how they will eventually tie in together. There's a lot of themes going on in this novel.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's so good.
Of this episode is going to just be Bradley cutting out or possibly leaving in every time I just say, the book is good. We are not joking. Please go read it.
Yes. If only for the chapter titles.
Oh, like, those are fucking amazing.
They're so good. The second chapter is just Meat Nest.
And it makes sense, like, because all the chapter titles, for the most part, appear within the chapters themselves. I did have one gripe with the book that I'm going to bring up, and it is a minor gripe.
Okay.
It is, I think, a Charles gripe. Lord Vader gets mentioned a lot in this book.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I thought it was weird that he was being mentioned as much as he was, because I didn't think he was the Supreme Commander yet. Maybe this is me misremembering Legends. I didn't think that he was playing that prominent of a role on the galactic stage. I know people know about him, but these are like random grunts on a prison barge are talking about Darth Vader, or Lord Vader as they call him. And I was like, I feel like it should have been Palpatine, or maybe like somebody else, like Tarkin, or Ysanna Sard, or somebody.
The way I saw it was that, like, at least my reading of it was that, like, Vader at this time is sort of like a boogeyman specifically to, like, the military. Is someone who is, like, very violent and shows up only in, like, terrible things. So, like, saying you saw him is, like, you were in some shit, which gets you cred. But, like, to the civilian population, yeah, they don't really know who the hell this guy is. But specifically to, like, stormtroopers, I think word would just sort of, like, get around and, like, ghost stories.
Yeah, and I think that's what they were going for, but I feel like the author kind of overused him a little bit. I also wonder, because they mentioned that Vader was the one, that Vader had some involvement in setting off the plot of this book, which is not a huge spoiler. Which I think may be why he's getting mentioned so much, because there must be some specific reason. I didn't read, like, the plot of Game Update 14 Death Troopers, other than I just looked at the basic plot outline, but, like, I don't know whether Vader it plays a larger role in it. I have got to find me some version of Galaxies to play. Like, at some point, I badly want to actually play this game.
You know what? If that's what you want to do, Charles, go for it.
Spend
your limited time on this Earth playing a MMORPG from the aughts.
I'm not going to pick up another MMO for a while. I'm getting so much done without playing them. We don't need to get into any of that. What are some other notes that you had on... Since I'm just going off your notes, essentially, for this book.
Sure.
What are some other notes that you had for the novel Death Troopers? The book we are ostensibly supposed to be talking about.
That's the horror of the episode. We can't stay on topic.
It's a horror for Bradley.
Yeah.
He has to go and edit this.
One of my favorite lines. So the character that we were talking about earlier, her name is
Zahara Cody.
Yes, Zahara Cody. You know, she is a doctor and a surgeon, and I think one of my favorite lines, one of my, like, it's just, like, sort of world-building for Star Wars.
Because she gets this whole crazy backstory in it. It's fucking wild, this backstory that they wrote for her.
Like, she is a the daughter of, like, a exceptionally rich family from Corellia that, like, could have a spot in the intergalactic banking clan.
And she decides to go into medicine and then gets, like, she starts hooking up with, like, one of her professors or something.
Yeah.
And he, like, convinces her even after they stop being a thing. They keep working together and he, like, convinces her that, oh, you should, like, use your medicine to help people. It's absolutely crazy. Like, she gets ostracized for this.
That's the line I specifically wanted to reference. The girl, now a woman, decides to go to Rinnal to study, of all things, medicine. That dirtiest of sciences, better left to droids, full of blood and pus and contagion. Hardly what her parents had hoped for. Which, I love that, because that means, like, being a doctor is seen as something, like, not good. Not
have you read Death Star? Have you read the novel Death Star? You need to, as soon as this podcast ends, you need to go and pick up the novel Death Star.
Okay.
Immediately.
Go
and pick this up immediately. You desperately need to read about one of the characters in the novel Death Star.
Okay. I will add it to my list.
Please add it to your list, because if you... Listeners of the show who also listened to our Death Star episode that I recorded with Ryan Murelli of Force Friends Rewatch will remember my thoughts on a doctor character that appears in that book as well. There's a lot of interesting, like, ground level world building going on in the Death Troopers novel too, because it's very concerned with, like, what kind of person ends up in this specific situation. And, like, they never talk. One interesting thing, there's a pair of brothers that's one of the main characters. One of the main characters is one of these two brothers. They never really, I think, explain how they ended up there. Or, like, specifically what their dad did, or, like, what happened to their dad.
Yeah, there are some allusions.
Nothing. But they never come out and spell this out. You're just left to piece together how much life fucking sucks. 17 years into the reign of the Empire, life just sucks super hard for everybody all of the time. And they just give you these little pieces to put it together. And even when we get Sartorius's backstory and how much that sucks for him. Yeah. Like, this book, it's... The writing in it is so good.
It's so good.
It's so... The characters are interesting. We spend time in basically everybody's head at one point. Except for, I think, one of the brothers. We don't spend any time in one of the brothers' heads. No, we do.
We see POVs.
Everybody gets a POV. Everybody gets at least one POV.
Like, two of the inmates and Waste.
Major characters who appear, who don't, like, immediately die in the zombie plague, or they don't, like, they weren't on the Star Destroyer at the start of the book. Every one of the major characters gets a POV, which I think is really good because it also shows how they are, how they operate inside their head.
Yeah. God, this is a good book.
God, it is a good book. What else you got for me?
I feel so bad for Chewbacca in this book. Like,
oh my god. His POV is painful to read.
It's painful and to read, but it's also just so, like, it is one of the most visceral POVs, but it's also just so interesting to, like, can I sort of talk about what happens in his first POV?
We will say the first POV, the second big Chewbacca scene, and if you've read the book, you know.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about that scene, because that one I'm going to leave for readers of the book to discover for themselves. However, the first real POV is, so the idea is that, long story short, Han Solo and Chewbacca, for various plot reasons, are not infected with the zombie virus when everyone else is. Somebody manages to get to them and solve the problem of them potentially being infected. Again, I'm not going to say how, I'm being a little bit vague. But the first POV we have of Chewbacca, he is being infected with the zombie plague.
And it acts really weird by, like, talking to him in his, like, mind. Like, it's just, oh, it's so spooky. It, like, that's the only, like, word I have for it. It's, like, spooky, and the description of how he fights against it is also just really, really cool for, like, character building, because Chewbacca, I feel like, aside from sacrificing himself on a moon in New Jedi Order, great book series, by the way, you should all read it.
I do think people should read New Jedi Order.
Thank you. And then everyone can see how amazing
I'm gonna shit on it. I'm gonna shit on some of the ideas in it. I'm not gonna say I'm gonna shit on the whole series. Sure. Some of the ideas that were present in the core foundational meeting of this series, and also kind of the way that the series was written. Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you think if there's one overarching theme of these Legends episodes, it's that Legends was fucking stupid. I think people should read it.
Yeah.
Not to point and laugh at it, but because acknowledging it was a different time and acknowledging that genre fiction, IP fiction, and specifically science fiction was in a much different place in the late 90s, 2000s, and early 2010s, it provides valuable insight into where the genre has gone so far. I feel like in a lot of ways, people who are only familiar with the canon are missing part of the foundational aspect of it. If you want to read it and enjoy it, then yeah, you can absolutely stick to canon. But if you really want to dig in and analyze some of these things, especially since the people who are writing canon now, a lot of them were fans of various things in Legends, especially Matthew Stover's Revenge of the Sith. So going back and reading the stuff that inspired them, ridiculous and sexist and lack of gay people and insane power creep as it was,
oh god, yeah,
can provide such valuable insight. Also, some of it is really good, actually. See, yeah, this book
Traitor, I keep bringing it up
because Traitor is excellent,
so good.
Revenge of the Sith is one of the best novels ever written, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking over at my shelf. Death Star was incredible.
Star's really good. The novelization of The Phantom Menace is fantastic because it has
Terry Brooks wrote that. Being
a theater kid.
Yeah, Terry Brooks wrote that, and then R.A. Salvatore wrote Attack of the Clones.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Yeah, R.A. Salvatore wrote Attack of the Clones, which is absolutely apeshit and insane. And then you get into like the Jude Watson of it all, and those books. We don't have time to get into that. We do not have time to get into that.
But yeah. God, this book is good.
This is a statement of the episode, guys. God, this book is good. Do you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
Another one of my favorite lines. I need to find it.
I found a quote from Joe Schreiber, and I'm going to read it just because I think it's a really good quote.
Sure.
It's talking about this in 2000, around 2009. He's talking about this. I had the time of my life on this one, I have to say. I'm doing the final edits now, and I tried to make it into exactly the kind of book you'd want to read if you were a child of the 70s who grew up with the original Star Wars trilogy and really digs horror in the vein of The Shining and Alien with a little dose of William Gibson mixed in.
Yeah, that's...
I think he was successful.
I think he was very successful.
I think he was successful.
Okay. So I found the quote that I wanted to
talk about. Okay, what was the quote you wanted to find, now that I've bought you some time?
Thank you. Seriously? The Imperials build everything symmetrically. They're not creative enough to do anything else. So, where there's one, there's got to be another. Same location, opposite side. Like, that just, like, distillation of imperial like conceptualizations of I love that word today apparently of like how they do things. It's just such a good line.
How like the imperial rationale of how imperials do things is a major theme of this book.
Yeah,
again, going back to what kind of person joins the empire and for what reason, what type of person is successful in the empire and for what reason, how does imperial thinking break down in the face of a crisis that imperial thinking cannot overcome. Say, for example, if you have a rigid authoritarian state dealing, and that mentality dealing with the outbreak of, to pull something completely at random, a plague of some sort. This book is very fun to read in the year 2023. Let me tell you, some of the lines I was like, oh my, it's the World War Z of it all, where I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, some of this hits a little too close to home.
Also, the description of the original biolab in which the...
I just remembered it and made a face, like in the video call, because I remembered in my brain what happens in the biolab, and I'm like, oh...
I'm not going to spoil what it is because the
it's
like,
real fucking gross, guys.
So
it's real fucking gross.
It is like I'm a fan of body horror as like a genre of horror. That's sort of like where I'm really like forward, and it's that. The character that like sees it is a painter, which is something that he gets bullied about from his other stormtroopers.
He gets bullied for being a painter, and he gets bullied for not sexually harassing the doctor enough.
Yeah.
This is here because this is supposed to indicate to us that this sucks. And we're not supposed to like these guys.
Yeah, and like, it's just so unfortunate, because like, you can tell this person would be a good person had he not found himself in the cog of fascism. Because like, he creates art for like, you know, people, and just to do it, to make their lives better, but then he, you know, finds himself in being a cog of a fascist machine, and it sort of, well, that's what happens to cogs and fascist machines.
It grinds away anything that remotely could bring joy or light to the people around you, because fascism doesn't actually want you to be happy.
Nope.
It wants you to be miserable so that it can keep the boot heel down on your neck.
Yeah.
Which is shown again and again through the prisoners, the way the prisoners are treated in this book. Spends a lot of time in the prison before we actually get to, like, the zombie outbreak starting. We get a lot of time with how the prison works.
Yeah.
For what turns out to be not a lot of plot relevance as to how this prison exactly works. Because Everybody fucking dies a third of the way through the book, except for the main characters. But what it does is it illustrates to us the parallels between this prison barge that's operated under the Imperial system, the Star Destroyer that's been operated under the Imperial system, and the Plague of the Living Dead that is
also being operated under the Imperial system. Because, spoilers, the Empire did this on purpose.
Yeah. I don't know if people had worked that out, but yeah, the Empire had something to do with the events of this book happening.
Yeah, it was no accident that all this occurred.
They needed to pump out Game Update 14 Death Troopers for their critically acclaimed MMO Star Wars Galaxies. What else have you got?
You know what I loved? Like, my favorite part about this... I've said that three times now.
What was your favorite part for realsies this time about this book?
The zombies learn.
Yeah.
Like, they're capable of planning. And, like, that's the most terrifying bit of this book, I think. Because, you know, if it was just an airborne zombie plague, that's spooky. But, like, you know, there are ways to deal with that. Because they learn, they only got out... the characters who got out because they got really, really, really lucky on how the plague worked, how the zombies work, and like it's so good.
Yeah, the fact that they adapt and they get better over time, and like you can't use the same thing twice. You can't just sit there and keep shooting them until you run out of bullets, or in this case, run out of lasers, because they're gonna figure out how to get around that.
And they have lasers of themselves,
They have lasers too, as it turns out later on in the book. Yeah, that's so fucking creepy. This book is fucking creepy. I read it all in one sitting when I reread it for this episode. Colton, you said you read it in two?
Only because I started it before one of my classes, and I had class, and then I had to finish. Like, okay. So, like, two...
Effectively one.
Yeah.
One with an intermission. But yeah. I read it in one, because I was sitting there, it was one of my days off, I was just sitting here flipping through this book. So it's just like, I know what happened in this book. I've read this book multiple times.
Same. Well,
I still have to keep reading to find out where this is going. Do you have anything else that you really want to bring up before we move on to final thoughts?
I really liked the epilogue.
We are not going to talk about it except to say that I also really liked the epilogue.
Yeah, that was pretty
good. And the epilogue is really interesting if you look up certain people that show up in Star Wars Galaxies.
I'm sure it is.
Because this leads into stuff.
I'll take your word for it.
I'll take Wikipedia's word for it, because I didn't play this game when it came out.
No, that's fair.
Colton, what, yes. As we do with all of our Legends books, let me ask you in lieu of a general final thought, why should people read this book?
It is the spookiest goddamn book you'll ever read in your goddamn life, Charles. That's not true.
No, we're close to true, but
yeah,
it's very spooky.
It is like one of the most evocative pieces of zombie fiction I've read, and it's just really good Star Wars on top of that. And, you know, you get to see Han and Chewie fighting zombies, which, you know...
The most 2009 sentence I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't you want to read that? Also, Han is written exceptionally well.
Oh my god, I love him in this book.
Yeah, like, it's... You could just tell that, like, the veneer that he keeps up at all times. Zombies break that veneer. Like, there is a limit to Han Solo's capacity at keeping, you know, his shit together. Because he does have, well, kind of. Han Solo never has his shit together.
Han Solo's entire vibe of making shit up as he goes along and playing it off like he meant to do that really put to the test in this book.
Yeah, yes.
Really put to the test in this book.
And then, yeah, it's just go read it. Go read it. You know, here's my answer to why your listeners, should read this book. So they can go and play Star Wars Galaxies. No, but seriously.
My answer to the question is, I've had a slightly complicated relationship with this book. I loved it, and then I thought the premise was stupid for a while. And then I thought the premise was stupid, but I really loved the book. And now I'm just back around to really loving the book. Don't give it to your kids to read.
Yeah, no.
Because, dear God, do not do that.
Because, I read it when I was, the first time, when I was probably 13.
You were too young to be reading this book.
However,
if you can watch a zombie movie and be fine, you will love this book. Yeah. It is, as Colton said, it's just an incredible zombie story. It's an incredible Star Wars story. You barely even notice that it's a tie-in to the MMO. This is, again, Star Wars is at some of its best when it takes a tie-in that has no purpose other than to sell some other product and gives it to a really good writer. That is where the best Star Wars is, in my opinion, as far as the books go. Alrighty, well, Colton, thank you for joining me on this discussion.
Of course, thank you for having me.
Death Troopers. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter for some God knows reason.
To watch it get set on fire.
Yeah, but you can find me there at ColtonZ9. And then I'm also on a wonderful podcast. I'm not sure if you've heard of Charles, but it's For Light and Dice.
No, I don't think I've heard of this podcast at all.
It's a story about a bunch of people who have good times constantly and nothing.
Everything's fun.
Ever. Yeah.
Everything's great.
Star Wars always has happy ending.
Like this episode of the podcast, which will end happily by transitioning to our socials.
Thank you for listening to Gold Squadron Gaze. Did Charles fuck something up? Send us a message at goldsquadrongaze@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Gold Squad Gaze. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Gold Squadron Gaze. Subscribe to us on YouTube at Gold Squadron Gaze, where we post the podcast as well as exclusive content. Please join us next week and every week for more of Gold Squadron Gaze.
Record to the cloud. There you go, Bradley, you fucker. Whatever you're off doing this week. I don't know what he's doing this week. Presumably his job.
I was going to suggest just being a twink. But
I don't know how much longer he has to do that, but that is something to bring up with him at a later time.